From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, June 25th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Red Zone Wireless, providing a local alternative for broadband throughout Maine. Learn more at redzonewireless.com.
A Superior Court justice has sentenced Shauna Gatto to 50 years in prison for the depraved indifference murder of 4-year-old Kendall Chick. The Bangor Daily News reports prosecutors had sought a 65-year sentence. Kendall Chick's death and that of 10-year-old Marissa Kennedy spurred a slate of child welfare reforms in Maine that included more than $20 million for new caseworkers and supervisors, greater reimbursements for foster parents, pay hikes, and part of a new computer system. Mainers' personal income was up nearly 5.5% in the first quarter of this year. The increase of 5.4% was the third biggest gain in the U.S. and the biggest in New England. Amanda Rector is Maine's state economist. She says the majority of that increase was because government payments like tax credits and Social Security increased, and there was also an increase in earnings.
So if we look at the industries that were the largest contributors, healthcare and social assistance was the first, retail, trade, and then forestry, fishing, and related activities also was one of the larger contributors to the increase in earnings.
Rector says payments to individuals from government increased in part because of tax code changes and also the fact that an unusually large number of Mainers received Social Security and just got a 2.8% cost of living increase. She says the effects of Maine's Medicaid expansion are not yet clear. And President Trump's proposed budget diverts nearly all revenue used to support the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which protects land that includes national parks, national forests, and wildlife refuges from development. Maine Senator Angus King spoke on the plan today in the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. Mal Leary has more.
The program, created in 1965, is supposed to get up to $900 million a year from the lease of federal land for oil and gas. But King says it has reached that amount only twice in its history. The president's proposed budget would all but eliminate the program. King urged his colleagues to instead provide additional money for the program that has helped build and expand numerous parks and recreational areas in Maine. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And in weather tonight, rain turning to showers and drizzle with some areas of fog and lows in the 50s. Tomorrow, showers ending with mostly cloudy skies. Humid in the south with highs in the mid-60s to high 70s north to interior south. One of the many challenges that parents face in their search for affordable childcare in Maine is that they're largely on their own. There's not much in the way of guidance other than Google, a state-run website called Child Care Choices, and word of mouth. It's the parents who have to track down the nearest providers, assess the quality of care, determine if they can afford it, and seek out any available subsidies. Child care advocates say the state didn't help matters by axing a decades-old system that once helped connect parents with providers. That decision several years ago played a role in sending federal child care money earmarked for Maine to other states. Steve Missler has more as part of Maine Public's deep dive on child care.
Sarah Dona and her husband were perfectly happy with their lives in Portland, Oregon.
My kind of sense of self is in Oregon, the mountains, the climate, the culture of art and self-expression.
And the quality of childcare, which was important because Dona had begun a career as an occupational therapist when her daughter Rosalie was born. But 2 years ago, the family decided to leave Oregon and relocate to Portland, Maine. The move brought Sarah closer to her family here and in Massachusetts, but required a major adjustment to a different culture and lifestyle, as well as a cut in pay.
We left everything to come here.
And almost as soon as she arrived, her job changed from part-time to full-time. Suddenly, she had to find childcare for a full 5 days a week.
I was kind of hoping it would be like Oregon. I didn't realize, you know, there's less industry here. It's sparsely populated. I kind of had the assumption, and maybe, you know, it's just lack of research, I had the assumption that it would be easier here and more affordable.
You know, most parents, they needed childcare yesterday.
Judy Wright Parker is the director of Ounce of Prevention, a national organization supporting childhood development programs. She says finding childcare can be a daunting experience.
I mean, it's not all that different from trying to find the right healthcare provider or the right mental health professional. You know, you need to make sure that you and the provider have a good match. And, you know, people need help in thinking about how to ask those questions, how to feel empowered about asking those questions.
And without a childcare system that helps answer those questions, Wright Parker says parents like Sarah Dona can be quickly overwhelmed.
How would you even know? I suppose you could Google childcare in Maine and see what comes up. But that's incredibly random.
That's exactly what Sarah Dona did.
I first Googled childcare, daycare is in Maine. I didn't find any banks or anything. So I called all the ones around. I visited countless. I don't even remember how many I visited in person.
She didn't like what she saw. The one center she did like cost $16,000 a year. All the while, Dona says she had no idea that the state runs a website that's designed to help parents locate childcare services.
I even asked people, you know, does the state provide any direction for this? Nobody answered yes to that question.
That comes as a little surprise to Judy Wright Parker, a former policy analyst for the Maine Children's Alliance, which has been sounding alarms about Maine's childcare system for several years. It began with a series of spending cuts that began in 2007 under former Democratic Governor John Baldacci, and it continued for another 8 years under Republican Paul LePage.
They started little by little. It was like a death by a thousand cuts. I think 2011 was the tipping point.
In 2011, the Republican-controlled legislature, with votes from Democrats, passed a budget that sharply reduced funding in a variety of initiatives, including a $2 million cut in child care spending. LePage had promised cuts in state government, ridding it of what he called wasteful or ineffectual programs. The next year, the state ended contracts with what were known as resource and referral centers, regional agencies that provided development training for child care providers and also helped parents find care and navigate the subsidy programs.
They were the glue for a community.
Lori Moses is the director of Catherine Morrill Day Nursery in Portland, and has been working in childcare for over three decades. She recalls how the staff at the eight referral centers would meet with parents in person, fielding questions they might have about providers.
What training do they have? What's your turnover? And then there's certainly the facility, there's the curriculum. Is there transportation? Is it on a bus route? Do they offer meals? Are there pets? Because if you have allergies, that won't work. What are the ages you serve?
Moses says eliminating the resource centers means parents have to rely on a website, if they can find it, and a 1-800 number.
And now there's no personal connection whatsoever.
And the data on the state website aren't comprehensive because the defunct resource centers were responsible for collecting and reporting it to the state. Judy Wright Parker says the state's move to cut roughly $1 million in annual funding for the resource centers also contributed to a loss of $4 million in annual federal matching funds, designated for Maine to provide child care subsidies for low and moderate income parents.
Yeah, the other states got Maine's money. That's absolutely true.
In fact, every other state but Maine and Nebraska spend on referral centers to help trigger the matching funds. A spokeswoman for the State Department of Health and Human Services says the Mills administration has a plan to once again utilize the federal matching funds. That plan does not include restoring the referral centers, which have effectively been replaced by the website and 1-800 number.
Hi. Hi. Can I go to the library?
Yes.
Yeah?
She forgot me there.
Portland parent Sarah Dona did ultimately find childcare for her daughter after a home provider messaged her on Facebook. Sarah's mom, who has just arrived at her house, drives up from Boston twice a week to help out, so that Sarah can continue to work. Still, she says there seems to be little correlation between affordability and quality in Maine's childcare system, and she says she questions her decision to leave Oregon.
I don't think moving to Maine was the best move for my family. I don't. It's been really, really hard.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
In parts of rural Maine, parents face another problem finding childcare. Many family-based providers have closed in the last few years, and some local resources to help parents have also shut down. That's left some families struggling to navigate a complicated and geographically vast system. Robbie Feinberg has that story.
All right, you want to feed trouble? Go for it. On a cloudy spring morning at Lots of Tots Child Care in Princeton, Maine, owner Penny Terrio kneels beside a small gate, bottle in hand, and helps two young children feed an excited baby goat named Trouble.
There we go, Trouble. Hold it right up.
Tending to farm animals is a daily ritual for the roughly two dozen students at her facility, located about as far east as you can go in Maine, only a few miles from the Canadian border.
My parents are like, Penny, my kid wants a goat, stop it. But they really, really, the parents are loving it. They are really loving it because the kids are going home excited. They're going home tired and dirty at night.
Terrio launched Lots of Tots about 30 years ago out of her home. She started out small, taking in just a few kids while caring for her daughter. The facility has since grown quite a bit. There's now a kitchen, a playroom, a gated playground, and a few more employees. And as many childcare facilities in Washington County have closed, Lots of Tots is now one of the only local licensed providers.
We need more childcares. I would love to see a childcare down the road from me. I would love to work with a child care down the road for me, helping them build up, helping them get started, because it's needed.
According to figures compiled by the state's Department of Health and Human Services, the number of licensed family child cares in Maine dropped by nearly 40% over the last 10 years. In many parts of Maine, larger center-based child care facilities have filled the gap. But that hasn't happened in some more rural spread-out regions, like here in Washington County, which has 15 fewer licensed family and center-based child cares than a decade before. Experts point to a variety of reasons for the decline. Many family child care providers have retired. Some students are now served by public schools, which have begun to offer pre-K. Limited health benefits, long hours, and increased regulations have also led some providers to leave the field. Many in Washington County report waiting lists of more than a dozen kids, some without any expected openings for more than a year. That's left some parents scrambling.
So we found out we were pregnant, and immediately I thought, oh no, how is this going to work?
Tennille Hollowell of Calais recounts the childcare ordeal she faced with her first daughter a few years ago. With no openings available nearby, Hollowell says she had to ask her mom, who had recently been injured in a fall, to step in.
Everybody says it's going to be hard to leave your first kid, but I cried and cried because I wasn't so sad about her leaving. I was just sad about leaving her with my mother. I mean, she's great, a grandmother, and she takes care of her, but she was afraid to pick her up and move her from like the crib to change her, the crib to feed her or anything like that. So she sat down a lot. So it was scary. I was nervous. I hated it, but we really didn't have another option.
After a few months, Hollowell eventually found a spot with a licensed provider. But for other parents in rural Maine, decisions made at the state level over the past decade have made it harder to navigate the child care system. In 2012, the state ended its contract with a network of resource development centers across Maine that helped to distribute information about programs including child care subsidies. 3 years ago, state officials closed the local Calais office for the Department of Health and Human Services. Melissa Mattis with the community action agency Downeast Community Partners says applying for subsidies can be confusing. And Mattis says she's seen parents wait on the phone with state agencies for hours in an attempt to reach a person to help them.
So when you say, well, can't you just do this? That's like asking them to climb Mount Everest. You know, it's like, it's undoable. How am I going to figure that out? And they're under stress and they're working and they have children. You know, so it's just a lot. It's a lot for parents to go through, which results in delayed payments or mix up in payments or mix up in eligibility.
The state does maintain a website where parents can search for local child care options. There's also a statewide network called Maine Roads to Quality, which offers resources and training to providers and has recently made strengthening family child care a focus. Todd Landry, the director of the state's Office of Child and Family Services, acknowledges that the subsidy process can be complicated. But he says the Department of Health and Human Services is working to simplify things and cites an increase in the number of families who've received subsidies over the past year. Landry adds that the department is also looking at ways to offer in-person guidance to families.
We'll have to see how those plans play out. What I will tell you is being actively addressed and worked on by the commissioner right now.
Okay, girls, come on.
Okay.
Back with the goats and chickens at Lots of Tots Childcare in Princeton, owner Penny Theriot says a number of pressures, including state regulations, have made it difficult to make the finances work as a rural provider. And now, facing foot surgery, she's still figuring out how she can serve the same number of kids, at least while she recovers.
But I can't close this program. I just can't. There is such a need. I looked at it and I said, okay, do I dwindle down my numbers so I'm paying one person to do it? I can't do that. I can't do it. So, you know, I'm at that crossroads as to what to do.
Theriot hopes that more local providers will enter the field and begin to fill the child care gaps in parts of rural Maine. But she worries that without more on-the-ground resources for parents and providers, new mothers and fathers will continue to struggle to access affordable, licensed care for their kids. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And Maine Public's deep dive child care in Maine is made possible in part by the John T. Gorman Foundation and United Way's Women United. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation about the experience of being LGBTQ in Maine. I'm Nora Flaherty.